Here's my theme that I want to bring out, okay? What I saw in these videos was all potential. There was potential to really mess up or potential to actually do what needed to be done. Did you see the lady park the car? Okay, the construction workers thought she's not getting in here. That lady saw potential and she found a way to get in there. The guy on the motorcycles, everybody thought if I paused the video, you would have been sure they were going to crash and fall. But they didn't. There was potential to stay. Now, I'm not saying outrun the police, but the police thought this guy's done. He saw potential. I'm getting out of there, right? It doesn't matter who else believes that you have the potential. The truth is potential is always, you always have potential. Right? It doesn't matter how many people think you can never amount to anything. There's always potential in your life. Listen, God has big dreams for your life. I have big dreams for your life. As we start this new year, I want you to know that, honestly, I look forward to God hearing your prayers this year. Anybody want to know that God hears your prayers throughout this year? I look forward to seeing the Lord forgive sin this year. Anybody looking forward to that? I'm looking forward to God beginning to bring back into your life the things that you have lost. For God to bring restoration in your life. Restoration could be physical from sickness, God restoring your life. It could be family members. It could be children who are off, who you don't even know where they are. And God bringing restoration, God bringing wholeness into your life. Anybody excited for that you would love to see God begin to restore? Perhaps for some of you, it might be God restoring passion for Him like you haven't had in years. For some, it may be your marriage. It may be that the flame of your love has been just messed up and just kind of mangled. And we need God to restore your marriage. I'm looking forward to God being a restoring God this year. This message today is really important. It might be the most important message of this year because I want to encourage you to plug in to God. I have big dreams for you. God has big dreams for you. Listen, we serve an unlimited God, right? Our potential for life is only limited by us and not by God. Did you get that? Our potential is only limited by us. It's not limited by God. God is completely unlimited. God has unlimited power, right? God has unlimited resources. We can say we're broke, we need money. Well, they walk on gold in heaven. If you've been here for any time, you've heard me say, God kicked down some asphalt. That's what they paved the road with in heaven. It's gold. God is not limited by resources. We can be, but we need to plug into the God who is unlimited. Here's another thought, okay, which will really limit your potential in the future for this next year. I'm talking about God being at work in your life in ways that you've never seen before, perhaps, I don't know, but in ways that I really want to see. You know, I want to see God at work. I want to see Him heal. I want to see Him save souls. I want to see Him draw people to Himself. In order for that to happen, we need to be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? Here's the problem. If you're going to be limited this year in what you will receive from God, here's why. Because sometimes we can get caught up in a place where we want to go to church, but you don't want to be the church. Do you hear the difference? Sometimes we want to go to church. We want to do the religion thing. We want to punch the time clock. And we think it's a good thing, and church can teach your kids about God, and all that's good. The Bible doesn't encourage us to just go to church. The Bible encourages us to be the church. To be the church. Because the church is what? I know we're in a tornado. The church is what? The people, right? The church isn't the building, right? The church isn't the stage. It's not the pulpit. Lord knows it's not the Christmas tree. The church is the people, okay? God's called us to be the church, not go to church. Yeah, we go, but we go so we can be, okay? When we have the mindset that we just want to do the religion thing and punch the card, you're going to miss the blessings of God this entire year in your life. You just will. I want to encourage you to dig into God. Be the church. I have a quote. I want to give you two quotes. I believe it's on the back of your bulletin as well if you want to read with me. I've been reading a book by Andrew Murray on prayer. Andrew Murray, I believe he was born in 1863 from Scotland. He's basically an expert in prayer. I think it's neat to go back to older people from a different era to learn about God. And he just had some great thoughts. Some of the thoughts I'm going to share today come from his book. You can check it out if you want. It's in my book bag. It's just a great short book on prayer. Easy to read. But I have a few of his thoughts here. Here's his quote. His definition of prayer is this: the natural and joyous breathing of the spiritual life by which the heavenly atmosphere is inhaled, and then you exhale it by prayer. So he says prayer is natural and joyous breathing of the spiritual life by which, he says, basically we breathe in the heavenly atmosphere and we exhale that out as prayer. If you can grasp that, what a beautiful picture of what prayer is. He says prayer is natural. Prayer is joyous, right? See, sometimes we think, oh, you got to pray more. Oh, pastor's going to beat me up for prayer. Oh, you bunch of heathens, you need to pray. Andrew Murray says it's a natural part of being a Christian. And prayer is joyous, in which when we spend time in God's presence, it's kind of like instead of breathing the smog around here, you breathe in the heavenly atmosphere. You breathe in the presence of God. And when we breathe that in, we exhale that with praises to God. Isn't that just a beautiful way of looking at that? That it's just natural. It's as natural as breathing. When we spend time with God, we'll be like, I love you, Jesus. And that's prayer. Lord, you're worthy of praise. That's prayer. Lord, you've seen where I've messed up. Forgive me. Help me to be like you. Maybe we pray, Lord, my kids need you. Right? Do you see it? It's a natural thing. You know, save my kids. Heal my brother. Whatever your prayer is, we pray, and it's a natural extension of who we are. John Piper has a great quote. I believe it's on your paper as well. He says, you'll never know what prayer is for until you know that life is war. Prayer is important. Prayer is what will keep us going with God. I love his quote because it's so focused. He says, you'll never know what prayer is for until you know that what? Life is war. Here's the deal. The devil hates you. Okay? We were talking and praying earlier about God restoring your life. The devil hates that. The devil does not want your prayers answered. The devil does not want your forgiveness. He doesn't want you to be forgiven by God. He doesn't want you restored. He doesn't want you healed. He doesn't want your relationship restored with your brother or sister or even husband and wife. He wants your marriage to be dissolved. He wants your kids to hate you. And he wants them to hate God. Because that's what he does. He wants to destroy. Jesus says he lies, steals, kills, and destroys. You're at war. You really are at war. We need to pray because the enemy wants to destroy you. We need to tap into the power of God and we need to really seek after God and pray to our general, to Jesus, our commander-in-chief, and cry out to Him. If we were in a military battlefield and we were under attack constantly, you would be on the phone saying, "General, what are we going to do? The enemy's overtaking this hill. What are we going to do? We need your orders," right? We would need to hear from our general. We would need his strength. We would say, "We need reinforcements. Come in." The enemy is doing that to your families. He's getting the forces to come over the hill to attack your children, to attack your marriage, to destroy you, to kill you. He wants to see you and your kids as drug addicts. He wants to see you rebelling against God. He wants to see you lost and hopeless and depressed. Or, here's the other part. If he can't get that, he would love to see you religious and just coming to church and going to church instead of being the church. The devil doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't want you to be the church. Do you see the difference? When we are the church, we get life from God. He's changing us. We're growing in Him. We're moving forward. We're advancing the kingdom of God. When we go to church, we're punching a clock and we're not being changed. If the devil can't get you doing sinful stuff, he wants you to sit back and come to church and just be full of pride and say, "I got it all together. Thank God I'm not a heathen," and not be changed and not come in contact with Jesus and not grow in the Lord and not be used by Him, not be forgiven, not have God hear your prayers, and not have your life restored because we're just religious. Our nation right now is filled with tons of people in church looking at the clock saying, "Is it time to get out of here? I punched the clock. I want to go home." Our nation's falling apart, isn't it? I love our nation, but it really bothers me that it's falling apart. I wrote something on Facebook the other day, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if you saw my update from Saturday morning, but I was just disturbed as I was on Facebook looking at people's entries. I have a whole bunch of friends on Facebook, okay? People who are Christians, love Jesus, and I'm going through Facebook and there's pictures of them partying from New Year's Eve, drinks in their hands, and they love Jesus, and they do church and all that stuff. And you just saw in their lives, they're completely compromised. Okay? Completely compromised. And not that I'm just sitting back and judging, and I don't mean that, but it just really broke my heart. Because I'm seeing they're missing God's best for their life. They're missing God at work in their life. They don't even know it. And here's the deal. I've been in ministry long enough to see that lukewarm Christians don't last. Anybody been in church for a little while? We're not going to name names, but you can look around and see people who are riding the fence. They're wondering how long they can stay saved. What sins can I do and still go to heaven? That's the wrong question. Right? And eventually what happens? They're not here anymore. They're not here anymore. They're gone. They're gone. I don't think they got the fact that life is war. That the devil really wants to destroy them. And he can destroy you with all the bad stuff that we would call sin. Or he can destroy you with the stuff that we would normally think of as good, which is pride and religion. And think that we're good. We don't need to cry out to God anymore. We got it all figured out. That's sin. If you remember, why did the devil get kicked out of heaven? Pride. When we think we're good, and we don't realize that actually we're all bad, and I need Jesus in my life enough for me to press into Him. Do you need Jesus enough for you to press into Him? I don't want to go to church. I want to be the church. Anybody else? To be the church? See, some of you
perhaps think that I just do this thing because God's called me to be a pastor and we're just going to do church and stuff. My vision for our church is probably way different than yours. It's not to have a little church where we come and fellowship. My vision is to start a movement for God. Amen? It's not to have a little church. It's not about the building. I want to start a movement of people radically on fire for Jesus Christ. That's my heart. It goes beyond here. It does. Sometimes I can get so frustrated because people can think it's this. It's not this. It's much bigger than this because I see potential. When you look with the eyes of God, it's not, 35 people here on a Sunday morning. It's not even the 80 or 90 that we can see. If we had every seat, with the vision of God, I could see much bigger. I can see lives being changed. I can see a movement starting. Not to start our own denomination or something like that. I don't mean that. But I mean a whole movement of people calling out for God. Right? I'm not going cult leader on you, so don't worry if that's your thought. I'm not doing that. But I know God has bigger things in store for us. And if we would only just open up to Him, He would change everything. A few verses I want to share. As I said, life is a war. The Apostle Paul told Timothy three times to fight. 1 Timothy 1:18, he says, "Fight well in the Lord's battles." If you don't think we're in a war, Paul told Timothy to fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight for the true faith." Fight the good fight, right? We're in war. 2 Timothy 4:6 through 7, Paul says it's reflecting on his life. He says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God." Paul says, "The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful." This life is a fight, and we need prayer. We need communication with our commander-in-chief. Why do people have a hard time with prayer? Anybody else, just be honest and just say, "I find prayer difficult." Because to be honest, I'll lift up my hand. Prayer is difficult, isn't it? If we're just honest, how many would say you would love to be able to pray more? Right? I think we'd all love to be able to pray more. Okay. We need more of God's presence. I used to have some theological questions. I know we're supposed to pray, but my question is, if God knows everything, why do we need to pray? Anybody ever have those thoughts? If God knows everything, why do we need to pray? But yet we still pray. Few reasons, because in prayer, God changes us. Okay? And another thing is, I love that last quote because it's like, wait a second. If we're really in a war, we're not going to ask questions like that. If you're really on a battlefield and people are dropping mortars in your camp, you're going to pray. You're not going to sit back and say, "Let me think here." As I lay out God as I see Him in a box, and you're like, "We're getting wiped out. My kids are under attack. My spouse is under attack. My job is under attack. I need God." Press into God. Why do we need prayer? Because we're at war. Because God is there, and we need to cling to Him. And if we don't, the devil wants to destroy us. Either with stale religion, where we don't even pray, right? You're not seeking God with stale religion. You're just thinking you're good enough. And your prayers are more like, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Instead of, "God, I need you." Yeah.
I was raised Catholic.
Okay.
So prayer is in my head.
Okay.
Is 10 Hail Marys.
Okay.
Our fathers.
Right.
When you went to confession, what you were told you had to pray.
Right.
So is prayer that, or is prayer your constant conversations with God in your head?
Good question. I would go with letter B.
Mm-hmm. See, because I do it all day long. That's all
right.
Long.
Right. Right. Right, right.
Because
that's been ingrained with you.
Am I right in my conversations with God?
Right.
Is that prayer?
Yeah, because...
Right,
because here's my question. What if you only did 9? You said Our Fathers, is that what it was? Hail Marys. If you only did 9 and
You were supposed to do 10. You needed to do one more or God didn't hear you. Because what happens is that becomes works-based. So if you did 11, is that better than 10? It's works for God. Prayer, to be honest with you, is just talking to God. Prayer in its simplest form is communicating to God. Now, how should we do that? We need to do that reverently. Some people for prayer is, hey, big buddy in the sky. Well, that's not right. Because God is our king, right? And God deserves respect. So we don't say, hey, big man. We say, as Jesus said, our Father. You know? And we come to God with respect and reverence. But prayer in its simplest form is communicating with God. It's just being real with God. You know, sometimes we can hide behind religion and we can miss being real with God. It's just saying, God, sometimes your prayer might be like this. You might be at home and you might just kneel down and say, Jesus, I love you, but my day was terrible. And you just need to talk to the Lord and say, God, my heart was broken today. My kids said something to me that hurt so bad. And ask Jesus to forgive you, right? And heal you and help you. Prayer is just being raw and honest. Respectful, though. Not, God, you are a fool. Well, dangerous. And I do believe God still hits people with lightning. And I don't even kid about that. Good question. And we're going to get more into prayer as we go. I want to just give you a big picture here. Why do we have such trouble praying? And here's the reason. Satan wants to keep you from praying. Okay? The devil knows that you'll be strengthened in your relationship to God if you pray. He knows that you will learn to trust God. In prayer, sometimes I'll even get to a point where I'm just upset about the day. I'm upset the way things go. And just in prayer, I find myself giving it to the Lord and coming to the conclusion, God, but you are so good. And I'm going to learn to trust you through this. Right? Anybody else? Prayer, God works in prayer. And we can come with this wheelbarrow full of stuff and garbage and complaints. And if we reverently give that to the Lord and we cast our cares before Him, as 1 Peter says, we'll find that God will begin to respond to our heart and we'll sense His presence. And we're applying the Bible. We're applying it to our heart. We're doing what the Bible said as we're in prayer. Amen? That's why prayer is so important. Prayer, in some step, I think really, is the first steps of us living out our faith. Is in prayer, when we reflect God's glory back. The devil wants to keep you from praying, okay? His main weapon is our flesh. It's our sinful nature. I'm going to give you some scriptures to look at when you go home. I'm not going to be able to read them because it's a whole lot of scripture. And to be honest with you, it's very good. It's good scripture to read in regards to this battle between the Holy Spirit in our life and the new nature that we have and our flesh. The Bible says that we have a sinful nature. We were born with a sinful nature. It only wants to do wrong, okay? It's received from Adam, passed through. All of our kids have it. We have it. You want to do what's wrong all the time. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes within us and we get a new nature. But we still have the old nature. So we have, I mean, I know it's a silly cartoon cliche, and don't take it too far, but you know the good angel, bad angel on your shoulder deal? A little bit maybe like that, okay? But much more sinister and much more good. Because our sinful nature wants to rebel against God and wants to do things contrary to God's will. And it's kind of like you're in an army, you're at war. People are shooting mortars in, and you have a spy in the camp working for the other side. It's kind of like that. But the spy isn't just in your camp, it's within your heart. It's your flesh. It's the thing that really cries on Sunday morning when the alarm goes off and it's time for church. It's the part of you that says, I don't want to go to church. But it's the part of you that has no problem getting up even earlier to fish.
right? Or whatever else. You can get up at 5:30 in the morning to go fishing. Sometimes 9 o'clock is rough on a Sunday morning. Okay, that's your flesh. It's the part of you that comes up with pride when you've hurt somebody and you need to ask for forgiveness. That's the part of you that says no. But look what they've done to you. And we need to listen to what God says, right? Here's the scriptures to look at. Romans 7, basically Romans 7 verse 21 through 8:14. Romans 7, 21 through 8:14. This passage of scripture is so good where Paul talks in detail. He says, Romans 7, 21, I have discovered this principle in life, he says, that when I want to do right, I inevitably do what is wrong. That's Paul, the writer of the Bible, says, when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. What a miserable person I am. Paul says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Wow. See, sometimes you can beat yourself up because you think, I go to church, I've asked Jesus to forgive me, yet I still fail Him. Yet I'm still messed up. Perhaps you might say, I've been saved for years, but I still do what's wrong. Paul wrote the Bible. And while he's writing the Bible, filled with the Holy Spirit, God is revealing to him to share this truth about his life. And I'm so grateful for that. Who can free me from this life? Romans 7:25 says, thank God the answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:1, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Read that passage when you go home. Also, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Another great passage as well. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. That talks about the war within us, okay? That's important to know because the devil doesn't want you to pray. He has an enemy in your camp, your flesh. That nature doesn't want to pray. And when we don't want to pray, that's what it is. He has a spy in your camp. And he wants to keep you from tapping into the power of God. Okay? And we need to guard against that. That is called the sin of prayerlessness. What do we do when we sin in that way that we don't even really want to pray? How do we beat the sin of prayerlessness? Here's the answer, just like you do any other sin. So many times with a prayer message, the application is go home and try really hard. Try really hard. Beat yourself up. And that works maybe really good for today. You know? And tomorrow we start messing up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to repent of that sin. The sin of not praying and tapping into God's power. I want you to confess that to Jesus. And just like you would confess the sin of stealing or lying, you say, Jesus, I am sorry for not praying and for not having the heart to pray. We say, Lord, help me to pray. Help me to pray. And confess it. And begin right there with the Lord. Don't beat yourself up. We just read Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. The devil wants to keep you at that place of making you feel condemned. For whatever sin, for whatever mistakes you've made in your past, and you need to stop there and say, wait a minute, the Bible says I'm not condemned because Jesus Christ has taken all my sin, including the sin of not even really wanting to pray. So Lord, forgive me of that sin, and I'm not going to beat myself up for it, and today's a new day. Amen? And today's a new day. Don't carry around baggage on your back and feel guilty. Because if you do that, then we try to become religious.
and we try to keep track of how good we can be. And the Bible says we're all messed up. We're all messed up. It's not how good you can be for how long. Every day I just need Jesus. And I thank the Lord, the psalmist wrote, His mercies are new, what, every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Because our faithfulness stinks. That's the other part of that. Great is your faithfulness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. I'm not faithful. You're not faithful. He is faithful. That's why we come back to confess our sins and we press into Him. He forgives us and we move on. If your prayer life has not been what it should be, what it needs to be, confess it and let's move on with a clean slate. Amen? Don't beat yourself up about it. Confess and move on. How does Satan hinder our prayers? Here's a few things from Andrew Murray. He says, we get the temptation to postpone or curtail our prayers. We get this temptation to just postpone it. We'll pray later. We'll pray later. We'll do it at another time. Then what happens? You don't get around to it, do you? I want to encourage you to try and figure out a good time to pray. In the morning? In the shower? It's a great time to pray, right? If your kid's beating on the door, stop! I'm showering and I'm praying. Leave me alone for just 5 minutes. And take that time to pray, okay? But find time to pray. Because this is where you get your life. The devil wants to keep you from praying. He wants you to postpone it. Don't postpone it. Pray. Another thing, wandering thoughts. You ever pray, and in the middle of prayer, you think of everything in the world you need to do? Right? Wandering thoughts. Remember, within your camp, there's a spy for the enemy that wants to distract you. This is what you do. Take a tablet. For those of you who got the notebook today, you can use your notebook. You can use your solid rock pen. Take it, something to write with in a writing utensil and write down stuff as you think about it. Very practical way to stay on course with prayer. Okay? So you're in prayer like this, and you're like, Lord Jesus, I love you, I need you more, and then all of a sudden, we're out of milk. Anybody ever, right? So what you do is, if you don't stop, you're going to keep praying, I thank you for milk, and the milk is always on your mind. Grab a pen and paper and write and do this. Say, thank you for reminding me I need milk. You write down M-I-L-K. We keep praying. And you can forget about it now because you wrote it down, right? Okay? What a great way to do that. You start wondering, God, pick up the kids at 3 o'clock. Write yourself a little note. So that way you know, okay, now I can focus on God. And when the enemy tries to remind you of anything else, you know, Starsky and Hutch marathons coming on, whatever it is, right, watch Huggy Bear, 9 o'clock. Write it down. Move on. How else? Just distractions, right? Distractions. Try and block out the distractions. Another way, unbelief. Unbelief. We get to a point where we say, I don't know if God can really do this. Okay? You need to go back to the Word and say, God can do anything. Right? And we need to pray. Hopelessness is another reason Andrew Murray wrote. Hopelessness. Sometimes we don't pray because we think it's hopeless. God's not going to hear me. God don't care about me. I've messed up too many times. How many times do I need to apologize? I'm just sentenced to hell forever. Right? Perhaps you've said things like that. It's never too hope, never too hopeless. Nothing's too hard for God, right? And know that. Maybe when you're getting ready to pray and you feel everything is hopeless, maybe just say, you know what? I know that's what the enemy in my heart wants to say. I know that's what my flesh wants to say. It wants me to doubt God. I'm going to believe in Jesus and move forward, right? Amen? How can we fight against that? As I said, remember it's a war, like the John Piper quote,
Don't beat yourself up. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. Confess your sins, okay? Romans 8:2 talks about that. Respond to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Respond to the Holy Spirit's work. God is working in your life. Just respond. Remember the quote we opened up with by Andrew Murray talked about how prayer should just be like breathing? It's just natural. God wants to work in your life. Just respond. Just respond to Him in prayer. How to pray. At the bottom of your paper, I have a reference that says, look at Matthew 6. This is the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, Luke 11:1 records this, the disciples came to Jesus. This was important, right? Here's God, the Son of God, coming to live, to die on the cross, right? The disciples needed Him to help them. They did not say, and they knew they were going to be the church after Jesus died and rose again. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to play guitar. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to sing songs and how to lead worship. They didn't even say, Lord, teach us how to preach. They said this, Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to what? Pray. Teach us to pray. Prayer is so important that the disciples asked Him to teach them one thing, and it was prayer. Why did Jesus have to pray? That's a big question, right? Because Jesus is God. Why did He have to pray? I don't know. But I do know this, if Jesus had to pray, and He was God, I'm not God. I need to pray even more, right? I need to pray. If you use the Lord's Prayer as an outline, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. I have the King James written down because that's probably how most of us have it memorized, actually. That'll work fine. If not, you can look at it in Matthew 6:9. But Jesus says this in the King James, after this manner, therefore pray. Okay, like this. Pray like this. And He says, Our Father, and you can quote it with me if you know, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. If you look at this outline, Jesus says, pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Here's the deal. Know who you're praying to, right? Who do we pray to? The God in heaven, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, that's who we pray to, okay? So if we come together with our Muslim friends and our Buddhist friends and we start praying, we're not praying to the same God, okay? We're not praying to the same God. We're praying to the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, God, Trinitarian God, God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament. Amen? If you don't get your God right, it's not going to work. Okay? It's like picking up your cell phone and calling somebody. You got to get to the right person. And then you can talk to them. Know who you pray to. The second thing, worship God. Hallowed be Thy name. May your name be holy. Prayer should include worship, right? Prayer should include worship. Some of you might want to write this down, but you can go through this outline, worship God. The next thing, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is surrender. Jesus gave them this outline. He didn't say, pray my words. He says, pray like this. We need to pray surrender, which means, God, you know what's best. Your will be done, right? Your kingdom come. You know what's best. I trust you. Give us this day our daily bread. What? We pray for provision. God provide. God, we need you, right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray for forgiveness. We pray, God, forgive us. We need to repent. We need to call out to Him, right? Do you ever get to the point where you stop confessing your sins? If you do, that's dangerous. We need to confess our sins to God. And we need to pray, Lord, help us to forgive others and then actually do it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to realize that we need to rely on God. Through prayer, we learn to rely on God. When we talk to Him, we say, God, our battles are not won on our own. It's not how religious I can be. Lord, I need You. I need You. I need Your Spirit. And we call out to Him, maybe for your children. You might say, God, there's nothing I can do with them. They're so thick-headed, they're not listening. I see the path they're on, and we need to say, but God, I trust You. I rely on You. May Your kingdom come in their life. Deliver us from evil, God. We need You. And He ends with praise and worship. For Yours is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. He ends saying, God, You have it all in control. To me, when I hear those words, that's hints of the return of Jesus. Yours is the kingdom. Jesus, You're going to blow the world up. Right? But that's a good thing. Because You're going to recreate everything and make it all new. You're going to take us to heaven, Lord. And we cry out, God, You have a plan that's good. You're coming back. I trust You that the problems I'm in won't be here forever, right? And we begin to worship Him and thank Him. The Lord's Prayer is an outline for you. And I want to encourage you to use that. One more thing before we go. On your page, on your handout, if you can look at that, this is our verse for the year. We're going to spend more time looking at this down the road, but just get your handout, your bulletin. It starts with if. Do you see it on the back of the page in the middle where the message notes usually are? If my people who are called by my name. I opened up talking about potential. Okay? We have potential. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Let me see something, Bob. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Man, what am I doing? Where are we at, Bob? Let's put it on 24. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Oh, man, can you put this picture in there for me? Praise You, Lord Jesus. Pastor Bob's going to put our art up for this. Listen, this is our theme for the year. Okay? At the end, the Lord says, you have the paper. If you do these things, then the Lord says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and restore their land. I want to encourage you, okay? Right now, I want you to think hard. Oh, I just messed it up. Think hard about this if. That's a big if, isn't it? I want to see you blessed this year. I want to see our church blessed this year.
God wants to listen to our prayers. He wants to forgive. He wants to restore. The devil does not want you to get those things. What do we need to do to receive from God this year? We need to what? Humble ourselves. Do you see that? Humble yourself. If you've been in church a long time and you're very religious, I want to encourage you to humble yourself. You need Jesus as much as the sinner on the street needs Jesus. I need Jesus as much as the crack addict needs Jesus. We all need Jesus. And pray. Pray. Get into God. He says, seek my face, which is even deeper than just regular God give me stuff. If you notice in the Lord's Prayer, there was only one line that talked about provision. Give us this day our daily bread. In our prayers, maybe we need to focus more on worship and more on who Jesus is and less on give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, right? Seek Him and turn from your wicked ways. When we do that, God, then He promises He will hear, He will forgive, and He will restore. This year, I want you to walk in the restoration of God. I want you to know that God is hearing your prayers. Amen. And I want you to be forgiven. As I said, I want you to be the church. Don't just do church. Don't just go to church. Be the church. Can we do that? And for those of you with children, here's the big deal on whether or not your kids... Now, kids can choose if they want to follow the Lord or not when they get older. But I think the most important thing you can do to have your kids follow Jesus is to be the church. If they see you do church or go to church, they don't care. If they see that you're real and you really believe God and you really trust God, I think it's going to make a difference. Even if your kids are older now and even in rebellion from the Lord, be the church with them. Forgive. Live for Jesus and be real. You know? I said the other week, when I die and I'm in the box and everybody's sitting around talking about me at the funeral home or wherever, I want everybody to say, man, he lived what he said. I want everybody to say, man, he really believed it. Right? Not that I was a good guy that went to church, but that I had a faith in Jesus Christ that was just radical. That's what I want to hear. And if you go before me, that's what I want to be saying as I'm sitting around you. Isn't that a weird thought? That's odd, right? And I'm not a morbid guy, but how blessed is that? That if Jesus should wait before He comes back, we're all going to go to heaven one way or another. And what better words than, He really loved Jesus and He really had faith. Right? Amen? Okay, we're going to get ready and close. And I see the time. You guys just took too long picking numbers when we were giving out stuff. Listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray, okay? We're going to take our offering in a minute. Of course, it's missions and all that. Mark that on the envelope. We know what to do. But we're going to pray right now. The big emphasis is prayer this week, okay? On your own, just pray. We have Bible study Thursday. We'll pray. God is saying, if my people do these things, then He's going to work in our lives. Are you ready to do them today? Anybody? Are we ready for this year? If you feel like you've messed up in the past, we've all messed up in the past. Let's ask God to forgive us and move on. If you've messed up with your life, if you've messed up with even your giving to the Lord, and you know your giving isn't what you wished it could be, your faith isn't what you wished it could be, your Bible reading isn't what you wanted, let's leave that under the blood of Jesus and move on this year. The devil wants you to feel beat up and condemned. I want to offer you life. I want to offer you hope. The if is a good if. Let's stand together and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want to encourage you, let's just worship Him today. Can we do that? If you want to, you can lift up your hands and surrender to Him. I'm not going to tell you what to do. And even that, if you don't mean it, it's worthless. But I just want to encourage you to touch God as we spend just another minute here. Let's just touch Him today as we pray. Can we do that? Jesus said, if you do this, He will do His part. Let's touch Him today. Can we do that? Jesus, we love You, Lord. Lord, we are Your people, God. We are called by Your name. We are known as Christians after You. Lord, this morning we seek You. We're in love with the idea of potential. But God, even more than that, we're in love with You. And today, Lord, as a church, God, we confess our sin of prayerlessness. Lord God, we confess our sin of righteousness too. For those who think we're good because we're church people and we forget how much we need You. God, we all need You. So today, Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness. Help us to pray and seek You, God. Help us to repent of our wicked ways and do the things we need to do. Then, Lord, we look forward to You doing Your part. We look forward to You doing Your part, God, of hearing and forgiving and restoring. We look forward to that, God. Help us, Lord, to not just go to church, but to be the church. We ask these things in the name of King Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.